United seldom has had a match like this. In fact, not ever in franchise history have they lost by four goals. Opens the 2018 season with a 4-0 defeat.
That is Mike Conte, play-by-play man for the Atlanta United Radio Network. Hey, that's here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Jason Longshore by his side for that debacle in Houston. And we're going to get Jason on here in just a second. But we come to you live from Academy Sports and Outdoors in Kennesaw, off Barrett Parkway, which is off of I-75. So come on up here. John, we've been here 3 hours. I have met more people here in 3 hours than I have met at any of the other remotes that we have been on.
The only one we met more was at the Super Bowl last year when we were doing that Saturday from Battery Live.
I stand correct. You are right. You know what? I'll throw Flowery Branch, too. When we're
sure.
at Flowery Branch, we meet a ton of people. I'm just trying to compliment Academy Sports and Outdoors.
I love it.
It's been great. They've been great to us. And literally, one, two, three, four, we've got literally 10 people just standing around listening. We've got our own little audience here. So it's very cool. We love you all. Thank
Paul
you so
much.
Paul
already yelled at me because I was in the back shopping for shorts when you gave away a gift card. I went to the bathroom and I said, huh, I need these lime green shorts. And I saw some Adidas shorts I liked. And see, I've got a dentist appointment at 3:15 back on my side of town, so I got a boogie as soon as the show's over with, although I kind of want to miss the dentist appointment. Like, I really don't want to go to it.
Well, then leave late. By the way, shout out to Matt. He won the last gift card that we gave out, and I'm going to have to bounce after our 20 segment.
Huh?
I gotta go to NBA TV.
What is that about?
You
were out sick yesterday,
know,
and now you're
yeah.
leaving early.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're in Kennesaw.
That is true.
I got places to be.
Hey, well, Jason Longshore, he's back in the Kia Studios hanging out, and he was able to travel with the team down to Houston. Part of the coverage with Mike Conte. Jason, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing well. What's up, guys?
We're having a great time out here, and it's great to see literally right next to us, Jason, the Adidas Atlanta United. They've got the peach-colored jersey and the original five-stripe. $59.99 for you, $69.99 for women. And we were talking to Cody, one of the managers here, and they've got over to the right side, they've got the T-shirts for men and everything, about how these jerseys have been flying off the shelves for the past year. Were you surprised at the amount of people? This is the first time you've been able to travel with the team, with the amount of Atlanta United people that were on the road in Houston.
Absolutely blew me away. I mean, from our flight Saturday morning, we had a lot of fans on our flight. There were other flights leaving Saturday morning that were almost full of Atlanta United fans. 230 tickets were sold in the dedicated supporter section in Houston, and there were other Atlanta fans all over the place. It was a huge turnout, probably one of the best in the league for visiting fans.
And it's so unfortunate the way the match went. I mean, Jason, I know Gazan. You tell me, was that one of the worst games that one of the worst matches that he has had in his MLS career?
I'm not going to put it down to Gazan. He had the one bad mistake on the fourth goal. He also made a couple of big saves. It was one of those games where Leandro Gonzalez-Pires struggled before he was injured. He's at fault on the first goal. You had giveaways all over the field from players that you don't expect them from. And against a team like Houston at home with their speed and their power, they're going to punish you for mistakes. And they were on point with every opportunity they had. Atlanta had chances. Miguel Almiron had a penalty. He had a perfect chance on a cross from Joseph Martinez in the 30th minute, and he didn't convert on either one. The scoreline could have looked very different. The game was a little more even watching it back than you think from looking at the score.
Jason, one of the concerns you had during preseason was the fact that a lot of the frontline guys did not practice or play together. A lot of the guys may not be connected, and it seemed that way in 4-0 that they didn't seem to be connected the way that you'd want them to be in the opening match of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. I thought Mike Conte said it really well during the match where it really looked like the Ezequiel Barco injury kind of, you know, took some steam out of this team. You know, they were starting to find that confidence in Charleston in the Carolina Challenge Cup, especially in the Minnesota match, where you could see Barco grow in confidence as he got more comfortable with his teammates. When he was ruled out for the opener, I think it really just caused everybody to come out flat. And players that you expect to step up in those moments, they didn't. And Houston was ready to go. This Houston team, I think they felt disrespected coming in, to be perfectly honest. You look at the national media, and people were picking Houston as low as 10th in the Western Conference, and that Houston Dynamo team is a team that will be there at the end of the season. They're a true competitor for MLS Cup.
Wow, interesting. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You're kind of depicting a perfect storm here based
right.
on Barco being out, based on Houston with the chip on their shoulder. And then something that we talked about, Jason, the last couple of Wednesdays when we interviewed Jason Longshore at Wednesday at 1 on the Midday Show with Rick and John, in terms of the players really didn't have that much time to gel and come together in the preseason because it was disjointed. You got guys playing less minutes, guys injured and all this kind of stuff. So which of those three factors was the biggest for this 4-0 score? Do you think it was Barco being out on the team, being flat? Do you think it was the lack of continuity from the preseason? Or do you think it was this Houston chip on their shoulder?
I'm going to give it to Houston, to be honest. I mean, you see matches where teams make the mistakes that Atlanta did and they're not punished for them. Houston really scored more than they probably should have. They converted their chances well. Atlanta had chances that they did not convert. It's one of those perfect storms. I think that's the best way to put it. Atlanta has to play better, though. And they have to play better this weekend coming home because now this game has added pressure. You know, this is an MLS Cup contender in Atlanta United that goes out on the road in the opener and loses 4-0. There's a lot of people looking at this team on Sunday against DC United at the Benz. A lot of people are expecting a response. And that was maybe my biggest frustration. In the second half, Atlanta United didn't come out with that fire that you expected being down 4-0. They have to show that Sunday.
LGP hurt, hip contusion. The latest on him is day-to-day. Do you expect him to play against DC United?
I would say no. I haven't seen him in training, you know, this week yet. Hip contusions can be tricky. And you look around the league at players with different types of, you know, contusions, bone bruises, what have you, and usually it's at least a couple of weeks. Just looking at him in that situation, Albert Ellis, you know, crashed into his back. LGP, you know, went down, play continued. He tried to get back up. He made a clearance, couldn't continue after that. It didn't look good on Saturday in Houston. I'd be surprised if he's ready to go, and then that means you're shifting the lineup around again for another injury, making the continuity even more difficult to attain.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And, that is a disadvantage for Atlanta United as they approach this game on Sunday. Jason Longshore hanging out with Rick and John here. We're live at Academy Sports and Outdoors in Kennesaw. And you know, I want to go back to LGP, and I'm kind of with you. I anticipate that he will miss this match. So, who steps up for him? And you mentioned that the rotation kind of gets shifted a little bit. So who is the guy that Tato Martinez is going to point to as, yep, you get in there and get it done?
You look at this team, and center back is the position that there may be the lightest in when you look at the depth chart. That's why Jeff Lorenowitz has been playing center back for Michael Parkhurst, moving to the back line from midfield. I'm not a fan of the Parkhurst-Lorenowitz combination. I think you struggle for pace with those two guys together. For me, I think it's probably Franco Escobar sliding in from right back. He played center back at Newell's Old Boys, his club in Argentina. His last match with Newell's, he played center back against River Plate and played very well. I think that's the easy move. You have Sal Zizo or Andrew Wheeler-Aminu, who both played in preseason at right back. They can play the right back role. Escobar comes into the middle, and you move Lorenowitz into the midfield. That seems to be the best way to deal with LGP if he's out.
Jason Longshore with us back at the Kia Studios here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jason, how do they overcome some of the sloppiness in game number one?
Sometimes it's just simplifying the game. And this is a team that you think back to last year in the early going, we saw these issues. We saw the passing combinations not be as precise, not be as sharp. And what the team ended up doing was you simplify it. You play a little more direct. You play over the top and use your speed. Let Vishalba, let Almiron, let Martinez run onto, you know, longer passes as opposed to trying to find those combinations playing through trouble. That's what I was a little surprised we didn't see in Houston, especially as the match went on. I think maybe we'll see more of that this week. If the chemistry is not there yet, simplify it, play more direct, use the speed that you have, which is this team is one of the fastest in the league.
So what, Jason? What did Houston do defensively to keep us from attacking? You talk all the time about Atlanta United has this attack mentality, and they want a high scoring game. They want multiple scoring opportunities, and they're not afraid to give up scoring opportunities to the other team, to outscore them. So what did Houston do, you know, to limit us, and what can we do to sort of fix that going forward?
Real easy. What Houston did is they scored in the fifth minute. It made the game so much easier for them. They didn't have to get stretched out looking for a goal. They were able to sit deeper and commit more numbers back, and then they were the team looking to play direct on the counter. You give up an early goal to a team like Houston or a team this week like D.C., it just allows them to get comfortable. They can commit more numbers behind the ball. D.C. will likely play eight behind the ball if they get an early goal, and you're trying to break that down. And it's very difficult as the match goes on. It's like you're running into a brick wall after a while. What Atlanta has to do is be sharp early, use the energy of this crowd, and get D.C. on their heels early.
Jason, a year ago, D.C. was the thorn in Atlanta United's side. Every time they'd put together a streak, D.C. United would be there to stop one. They're probably the difference between having a first-round bye or playing in the knockout round. Is there a little revenge on the mind of Atlanta United this early in the season?
Oh, there has to be, because those D.C. losses were what knocked this team out of the knockout round. You're dead on, and you get into the knockout round, anything can happen, as we saw last year. Atlanta United, I think you have that, plus you have coming off of a 4-0 loss to open the season. This team, I would expect, is going to come into the Benz on Sunday just looking to light it up as quickly as possible. Add in 70,000-plus going nuts. I think it's a good situation for Atlanta United, but they have to tighten up the mistakes. They have to tighten up the turnovers, especially at midfield when they're exposed, because this team doesn't have the chemistry defensively just yet. So you're not getting the transition from offense to defense as tight as it needs to be. And you turn the ball over at midfield when you're exposed, the other team's going to have a counterattack opportunity. And Houston lit up Atlanta on two counters. Atlanta just can't do that this week.
Be happy. So, Jason, you know that, you know, I'm a broadcaster. I mean, obviously, I'm on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, but I've done a ton of play-by-play in my life. It's why I got into this business. So talk to me about you and Conti. Okay, this was the first regular season match with you and Mike Conti matched up as the broadcast team for Atlanta United. So how did it go? What was your takeaway of game one with Mr. Mike Conti in the regular season?
I thought it went really well, you know. I mean, it was our first game, just like the team. I think our chemistry was maybe a little bit better than what we saw on the field. So
nice.
It was good. It was good. What I'm impressed with Mike is just, you know, getting up to speed this quickly on this team and on the league. You know, it sounds like he's been calling these games for a while, and that's not easy to do. I mean, when you're doing multiple sports and you're going from Hawks to United, it's different, just different mindsets, and he slips into it easily. So I'm incredibly impressed.
You guys had a fun travel experience. Mike was telling me, you know, because Atlanta United does not charter. I guess the MLS does not charter at all. So you guys are on a flight where, like, Brad Guzan was sitting coach somewhere. I mean, is that true? Is that how it was? You guys just got on and everybody's kind of in a random seat?
Yeah, that's how it was coming back. MLS is growing up, guys. You know, it takes some time. And you see the teams now can make four chartered trips a season, four chartered legs of a trip. And I wonder where Atlanta's going to use them this year. It might be that trip to Colorado and San Jose and back-to-back games. But the league, and I think the ownership groups like Atlanta United, are pushing for that to change. And it has to.
When you guys go to Colorado, can you push that you need a midday show out there for a couple of them? I'm just saying. I mean, you know, we wouldn't mind going to the Rocky Mountains.
I can make a recommendation or two. I can try.
I like it. It's my favorite state in the country, Colorado. Wait a minute. I'm in Georgia. I just dissed like 10, 12 million people. Anyway, I love Georgia, but anyway, let me move on here. Jason, I did want to ask you a question about the crowd. You mentioned 70,000-plus at the Benz on Sunday. Are they going to be nervous, you know, dreading possibly an 0-2 start? Is it going to be maybe a nervous crowd?
You know, that's a really good point, and I was just talking to Jimmy Vance about this. If Atlanta United can get an early goal to ease those nerves, it would be the best thing possible, I think, for the players and for the fans. I think the fans are still kind of learning how this whole thing goes. And you had the season in the way it did last year. You had the, you know, fairly tumultuous offseason with Barco watch and then the injuries in preseason and the team not looking great in preseason. Then the loss in Houston to open the season. And I think people are worried. I think they're losing sight of it, that it is early. It's very early in a long season, and this team is not at full strength. But a win, and especially a hot start on Sunday, I think it's key.
let that play for a second, Rick. A little surface.
Flashing back to a skating rink.
For real. For real.
Coming up next, it'll be the limbo. Anybody that wants the limbo, come down to lane 4. Be ready for the limbo here.
Couple
Rock
skate.
And skate in Snellville. Yeah, it's time for couple skate. Jason, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
as always.
Jason.
Thanks, y'all.